Today's text comes from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 15, verses 21 through 32. And they compelled a passerby, Simon of Cyrene, who was coming in from the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to carry his cross. And they brought him to a place called Golgotha, which means place of a skull. And they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. And they crucified him and divided his garments among them, casting lots for them to decide what each should take. And it was the third hour when they crucified him. And the inscription of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." And with him they crucified two robbers, one on his right and one on his left. And those who passed by derided him, wagging their heads and saying, "Aha, you who would destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself and come down from the cross." So also the chief priests with the scribes mocked him to one another, saying, "He saved others, he cannot save himself. Let the Christ, the King of Israel, come down now from the cross, that we may see and believe." Those who were crucified with him also reviled him. The wages of sin are death. This means that sinners will face not only physical death, but also eternal punishment in hell under God's judgment. According to Romans chapter 3, verse 23, everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's glory. Before we can understand and accept the message of the cross, we need to acknowledge that we are hopeless sinners who deserve death as wages of our sin. Otherwise, the significance of Jesus' sacrifice on the cross is lost on us. If we find it difficult to believe in the message of the cross, it's because we haven't fully acknowledged our sinful nature and the consequences of our actions. We need to pray and ask God to help us recognize our sinfulness, repent, and have faith in Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. This is the most urgent an important thing for us to do. The eternal Son of God became a man like us, took our sins on himself, and paid the wages of sin with death. Jesus was crucified and died on the cross to take my sins as his own, take my death as his own, and receive eternal punishment under the infinite judgment of God's wrath. Not only that, Jesus was completely righteous and sinless and perfectly obeyed God until he died in our place. That is why we must remember that Jesus' suffering on the cross in today's text is not only for us, but also with us. Jesus paid the price for my sins by shedding his blood and dying for my forgiveness, and he obeyed God until he shed his blood and died for my righteousness. Therefore, when Jesus rose from the dead to eternal life in heaven, we also rose again with him and became children of God who belong to heaven. Believing in this gospel is salvation. Believing that the cross of Jesus is my cross is salvation. Even if you have been attending church for a long time, graduated from a Christian school, and know the Bible well, if you do not believe this, there is no salvation. Even if you live a good and moral life better than others, and sacrifice yourself for others to the point of burning your own body, if you do not believe this gospel of the cross, there is no salvation. Salvation is only through faith in Jesus, who was crucified to pay the price of sins for a hopeless sinner like me. That is why believing in Jesus on the cross is the only wisdom that leads to salvation. I hope that God will give us this wisdom today through the words of the Gospel of Mark. In the end, as the Jews wanted, Pilate whipped Jesus and handed him over to be crucified. As I mentioned, the whipping at that time was so painful that the flesh was torn and the bones exposed because bones or pieces of metal were attached to the whip. So some people died from this whipping alone before being crucified. Our Jesus also suffered greatly from this whipping and shed so much blood that he became so exhausted that he could not even carry the cross. Also, according to Roman law at the time, those who were crucified were required to carry their crosses and walk through the crowded streets so that people could see the punishment that would be given to those who opposed the Roman government. That is why Jesus had to carry the cross himself and climb Golgotha Hill. Not only that, but in this place where the cross was carried, before being crucified, the sinner was stripped of all his clothes and nailed to his hands and feet in his naked shame. Jesus also took off all his clothes and was stripped naked, and here the grace of the gospel is revealed. Jesus, who was sinless, took on the naked shame of our sins and received God's judgment, so that we would not be found naked, so that we could be clothed with Jesus' righteousness. This is the fulfillment of what happened when God offered the first sacrifice and clothed Adam and Eve with the skin of the sacrifice, who had first sinned against God and whose naked shame was revealed, covering themselves with fig leaves and hiding from God. Therefore, by Jesus being crucified naked on the cross as our eternal sacrifice, we are not found naked before God, but are clothed with Jesus and live forever. Jesus' hands and feet are nailed, and the cross is lifted, and this death on the cross is so cruel because it is not about dying all at once, but rather dying slowly and in great pain until all the blood is shed. Those who were crucified were not taken down immediately after death, but were left to become food for the birds. According to the Bible, becoming food for the birds was also a reality of God's wrathful judgment. Also, the word that says that anyone who hangs on a tree is cursed is fulfilled, and Jesus receives the judgment of God's covenant curse in our place on the cross, sheds blood, and dies. And as we will see next time, even though people could not see it with their physical eyes, Jesus was completely forsaken by God on that cross. He takes our eternal abandonment. Jesus is now receiving this death. However, sinners who do not acknowledge their sinfulness live only for what they see and seek only their worldly glory are truly foolish and shameful. With the wisdom of the world, it is impossible to believe in Jesus. Jesus on the cross is impossible to believe unless the Holy Spirit gives grace. That is why many people turn Jesus into someone that they can believe with the wisdom of the world. However, we preach Christ on the cross and believe in him on the cross. Therefore, our faith is something that the world does not understand and considers foolish and shameful, and it is ridiculed and despised. Last week, we discussed Mark chapter 15, where the focus shifts from Jesus to the chief priests, elders, scribes, Pilate, soldiers, and the Jewish crowd. Jesus is handed over to Pilate, and when Pilate tried Jesus, the people cried out to crucify Jesus. So Pilate released Barabbas instead of Jesus and handed Jesus over to be crucified. And then the soldiers dressed Jesus in purple, placed the crown of thorns on his head, spat on him, mocked him, dragged him out, and crucified him. In chapter 15, Jesus does not say a word, but gives himself over to the sinners in a helpless manner, like a lamb being led to the slaughter. It is not because Jesus lacks strength that he is being crucified. He could have ordered the heavenly host to judge all the sinners right there, but Jesus voluntarily offered himself to God as an eternal sacrifice to fulfill God's will and save us from all sin. And God is in control of all of this. John chapter 10 verse 18, "No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I have received from my Father. In chapter 15, our hopeless sinfulness is completely revealed, and at the same time, God's sovereign grace and love are revealed together. However, a key theme in chapter 15 is the proclamation that Jesus is the King of the Jews. This proclamation is repeated in verse 2, verse 9, verse 18, verse 26, and verse 32, all of which were spoken by sinners in the context of accusing, mocking, and despising Jesus during his crucifixion. Despite the sinful origins of these words, an amazing truth is proclaimed. Jesus is the King of all Jews, not in a physical sense, but as the King of the spiritual Jews, the spiritual Israel, the King of all God's chosen people. The glory of Jesus as the King is fully revealed on the cross. Romans chapter 2, verses 28 and 29. For no one is a Jew who is merely one outwardly, nor is circumcision outward and physical, but a Jew is one inwardly, and circumcision is a matter of the heart, by the Spirit, not by the letter. His praise is not from man, but from God. Apostle Paul explained that true Jews are not just those who are outwardly Jewish, but those who have received the Holy Spirit inwardly. According to Paul, Jesus is the King of the true Jews, and he was crucified and died for them, revealing the glory of the King of heaven on the cross. Therefore, we can say that the cross was a throne of glory for Jesus, the King of heaven on earth. However, the wisdom of this world cannot see the glory of Jesus as the King. It failed to recognize his glory, as he revealed the greatest glory by being the most humble. As a result, the world mocked, despised, and abandoned him. On the other hand, we are the ones who see the greatest glory of Jesus on the cross and find our glory in him. This is why we continue to hold on to and boast only in Jesus on the cross until the end. In verse 27, Jesus is crucified, and we see two criminals crucified on each side of him. This fulfills the words of Isaiah 53 and shows that Jesus was considered one of the criminals and was put to death. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 12. Therefore I will divide him a portion with many, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death and was numbered with transgressors. Yet he bore the sin of many, and makes intercession for the transgressors. The text here reminds us of the analogy of the cross as a throne on earth where the glory of Jesus is fully revealed, with robbers on each side reflecting the reality of the gospel. It also refers to an incident in the Gospel of Mark when James and John approached Jesus with a request as he entered Jerusalem. Mark chapter 10, verses 37 and 38. And they said to him, "Grant us to sit, one at your right hand and one at your left, in your glory." Jesus said to them, "You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink, or to be baptized with a baptism with which I am baptized?" James and John asked to be by Jesus' side when he ascended to his royal glory. But when Jesus was crucified and revealed his royal glory, all the disciples abandoned him. In Mark 15, none of the disciples can be seen, and instead, the robbers are on Jesus' right and left. These robbers represent us sinners who have lived by stealing from and killing God. This can be seen as foreshadowing the reality of glory of heaven, where we will be saved by Jesus' blood and be on Jesus' right and left. Jesus' disciples are no different from the robbers. They are sinners. However, by Jesus' grace, these disciples will also sit on Jesus' right and left. He allows us to participate in his death, And when he ascends to heaven in resurrection and glory and sits on the throne of the King, he also allows us to reach glory with him and sit on the throne with him by grace. In verse 23, during Jesus' crucifixion, a mixture of wine and myrrh was offered to him, but he chose not to drink it. Myrrh is known for its pain-relieving properties, acting as an anesthetic. Yet, Jesus did not take it, choosing instead to endure all the pain that we deserved. In verse 24, Jesus was crucified naked, and the soldiers divided his clothes by casting lots, fulfilling a prophecy from the Old Testament. Psalm chapter 22, verses 16 through 18. For dogs encompass me, a company of evildoers encircles me. They have pierced my hands and feet. I can count all my bones. They stare and gloat over me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. In verses 29 through 32, it says that the sinners continued to insult Jesus on the cross. They mocked him, saying he couldn't save himself, and taunted him to come down from the cross if he was truly the chosen one. Even those who were crucified with him insulted Jesus. However, one of the criminals repented before dying, believed in Jesus, and was saved. Jesus assured the criminal that he would be with him in paradise that day. In this way, Jesus saved the chosen people even while on the cross. All sinners crucified Jesus, mocked him, despised him, tested him, and eventually abandoned and killed him. Was this the only time sinners acted this way? No. On that cross, he revealed the sins of the whole world and our deep-rooted sinfulness. Even now, all sinners continue to crucify Jesus on the cross and live their lives with their own wisdom. However, when Jesus comes again, everything will be revealed. All sinners will see this. Revelation chapter 1, verse 7. Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even those who pierced him, and all tribes of the earth will wail on account of him. Even so, amen. All those who abandon and kill Jesus will mourn when they see Jesus return as the King of Glory. Jesus will finally bring the final judgment on the whole sinful world that mocked, despised, hated, persecuted, and killed him. And finally, in this incident where Jesus was crucified and died, there is one more important event that we must pay attention to. Today's text tells us about this event, and here, Jesus tells us about the calling of the disciples. Mark chapter 15, verses 21 and 22. And they compelled a passerby, Simon of Cyrene, who was coming in from the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to carry his cross. And they brought him to the place called Golgotha, which means place of a skull. Simon of Cyrene, who came from the countryside, was forced by the soldiers to carry Jesus' cross to Golgotha. This demonstrates that even though it wasn't his choice, Simon participated in Jesus' suffering and carried the cross. This event shows us that Jesus is revealing the calling of his disciples, our own calling, and the path we must follow. While Jesus alone bears our sins and pays the penalty for them through his death and judgment on the cross, we can see that he is indicating that those he saved also need to participate in the path of suffering by carrying their own crosses and following him. Jesus had previously spoken about the calling of his disciples in this manner. Mark chapter 8, verse 34. And calling the crowd to him with his disciples, he said to them, "If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Through Simon of Cyrene, even though he did not volunteer at the time, Jesus showed us the path that we, the saved saints, must carry our cross and follow him. We too are called to follow the path that Jesus took, participate in his suffering, bear his cross as our own, and reach the glory of heaven that he has spoken of. That's why the Bible speaks of the calling and the path of the saints. Romans chapter 8 verse 17. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 21. For to this you have been called, because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example, so that you might follow in his steps. If we live according to the teachings of Jesus, not following the wisdom and power of this world, but according to the wisdom of heaven and the love of the cross, we will also experience the suffering and persecution that Jesus endured. Jesus said that just as the world hated him, it would hate us too. However, he also encouraged us to take courage because he has overcome the world. John chapter 15 verse 18, chapter 16 verse 33. If the world hates you, know that it has hated me before it hated you. I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Dear saints, what sets our lives apart from those of the world? Most importantly, we are people who are grateful to God. We believe and are thankful that Jesus shed his blood and died on the cross to save us out of his love for us. Therefore, we follow Jesus not out of compulsion, but willingly and voluntarily as a testament to Jesus' love on the cross. We understand that to the world it might seem foolish and awkward, but we believe it is God's wisdom and power to us, and we choose to follow that path. Even if the world ridicules, scorns, and tests our lives of faith, we are people who joyfully follow the path Jesus walked. For this, the Holy Spirit helps us understand more through the gospel that Jesus' cross is our cross. The Holy Spirit enables us to grasp more of the love and grace revealed in Jesus' cross. He empowers us to willingly follow the path that Jesus walked, even in times of suffering. I pray that the Holy Spirit will continue to bestow this grace upon us so that we can reflect the glory of Jesus on this earth, even through suffering and humiliation, and ultimately reach the glory of heaven.